Thank you. It is so good to have you join with us again at the same time each week. And again, we count it our privilege to have you follow along in our Bible studies. And we also thank those that, as we do each week, because we get quite a few letters, those that write us and let us know that you listen to the broadcast. And we appreciate that very, very much. We're now continuing our Bible study over here into Romans chapter 7. We finished up here on Romans chapter 6, which is a study of the two natures here that we have as a Christian has, so that we can understand the problem that a Christian has when they accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Then they still have the old nature, and that's in conflict with the new nature, because when they put their faith in Jesus Christ, they are then indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. You never have to pray for the Holy Spirit. You never have to plead for the Holy Spirit. You don't have to speak in tongues thinking you got the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the object of promise, not because you beg or plead or one thing or another. God promised that after you've heard the word of truth and believed, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and you are sealed until the day of redemption. That means you never lose your salvation. You can lose your rewards, but not your salvation. Now, in Romans, as we continue here with chapter 7, Paul deals with the fact, guided by the Holy Spirit here, what relationship is the law to the believer? And when did the law come to an end? Now, when we're speaking of the law, we're speaking about not just the Ten Commandments that most people have in their mind, that the law is the Ten Commandments. Yes, it is the Ten Commandments, but there are 710 more of the laws, approximately, according to some of the Jewish rabbis in the Old Testament. Now, we'll just sort of give you just a little brief outline here of chapter 7. In verses 1 to 4, it's a contrast of the law, of the marriage law, as contrasted to the law itself and the body of Christ. Well, when did the law, how long was the law into effect, and are we under the law today? Then, that's in verses 1 to 4. Then in verses 5 to 14, we find out, as we recapitulate, Paul goes back and shows the purpose of the law. Even though we're not under the believers, not under the law today, what was the purpose of the law to bring us unto Christ? And then in verses 15 to 25, we're going to expound again and understand a little bit more thoroughly the dealings of the two natures that we have in conflict in the believer after that the believer has received Jesus Christ. So, let us begin here in chapter 7, and let's notice here in verses 1 to 4. Again, as we say, this is the contrast now, as he's going back and using an illustration of the marriage vow in the Old Testament, and liking that as to being married unto the law until the law died, and we're going to see that. So let's begin here in verses 1 to 4. Remember this now. This is not a marriage standard for today. He's only pulling this out from the Old Testament to show the contrast of the law to the believer until the law died, or we'll say until Christ is the end of the law, till the law ended, and now we're under the law of grace and liberty. Not liberty to sin, but under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Now let us begin here in verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. So actually he's speaking to those Jewish believers, or those Gentile proselytes, or Gentile believers, but they knew the law. And most of them were the Jews who were raised in the law, raised under the old Mosaic system. To them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman hath a husband, which hath a husband, is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she's loose from the law of her husband. So then, if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. And verse 4, now he explains this. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. So therefore he's showing under the Old Testament law the basic principle now, because there was under the law a writing of divorcement for adultery. But he's talking about the basic law that in God's eyes What God wanted was, when a man and wife got married, they were to be married until death do us part. Now, when the husband or the wife died, then the other was free to go ahead and marry someone else. He's likening this as an illustration now to the literal, all of the 720 laws of the Old Testament. How long were they into effect? Well, likening this to the marriage until one died, liking this until the law died, if we can use that terminology, or when did the law end? When did it stop? When the Lord Jesus Christ was here, he was crucified, he was buried, and rose again. And as we continue on in the book of Romans, we're going to find out in chapter 10, in verse 4, that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So, under that, we find out that when Christ came, we're to be married unto him, likening to the marriage of the Old Testament law. So, we're not under the Ten Commandments as far as that particular set of rules, although we are to obey the Ten Commandments as far as the moral law is concerned. Now, we might say this specifically,